tells us in Parshas Bereishis that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created man, he was created with Tzelem Elokim. He was created with divine tchunas. It's because of this Iker and Emuna, we believe that man is not the same as Behemoth. That man has Tzelem Elokim. It's because of this Iker and Emuna that we believe that it's possible to have a mitzvah of a halach to bedrachot. What does HaKadosh Baruch Hu command us that we should imitate God, we should go in the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu? Isn't that the most unhealthy thing for a person, is to try to act like someone whom he isn't? The Talmud tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sheds 3 tears every day, and 2 of the 3 tears are over the misplaced people. They're the people that belong to one field, they went into a different field, they belong in that field, they went into that field. So what do you mean we should act as if we're God? The person's going to crack up, he's going to have a nervous breakdown. So the answer is no. Man was created with Tzelem Elokim. All men have this, have these tchunas within them. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu commands the Jewish people, the halach and the drachot, to preserve the Tzelem Elokim that he created us with. And then the next pasuk, this pasuk, the halach and the drachot, is in Parshas Kisover. The very next pasuk says, V'ro kalami ha'aretz. And all of the nations of the world will see, Kishem Hashem nikra alecha, that you have succeeded in preserving this Tzelem Elokim. The Yarumi Mecca, they will learn Yerushalayim from the Jewish people. That's part of the obligation of the Jewish nation. The Nevi'im tell us that we are supposed to act as an Or LaGoyim, as a light unto the nation. What do you mean a light unto the nation? We should show them how to keep Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha. Why should they keep Shabbos and Kashrus and Taras HaMishpacha? The Iker, it's not relevant to them. The Iker Or LaGoyim is in the area of the Tzelem Elokim. The Yom Yisraelim will see that we have preserved the Tzelem Elokim. The Yarim in Mecca, they'll learn Yerushalayim from us, and they'll learn how to act in a way that they have the ability to act. They were also created with Tzelem Elokim. Chaviv Adam Shenivri B'Tzelem. All people were created with Tzelem Elokim. So everybody can imitate the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu commanded us all the 613 mitzvahs. He only commanded the Yom Yisraelim 7 mitzvahs b'nei noach. But the Talmud does speak of the concept of Eina Mitzvah V'Yoytza. We know that the women volunteered to shake a lulav, and by the Ashkenazim, the women even recite the bracha when they shake a lulav. The women volunteered to listen to Tkiyah Shofar, and they even say a bracha when they blow shofar for the women. There is a concept of Eina Mitzvah V'Yoytza. Sometimes it does not make any sense. The Shulchan Aruch quotes from the Talmud Yerushalmi that when it's raining outside, when it's raining, and a person says, although he's exempt from the mitzvah of sukkah, he wants to volunteer as an eina mitzvah v'yoytza, to sit in the sukkah. So the Shulchan Aruch quotes, he's an idiot, nikra hedyot. Apatam and adam, I say nikra hedyot. Hedyot is the Greek word for idiot, kain hedyot. Hedyot means poshut. There's a kain gadol, special kain, and a plain kain. Kain hedyot is an idiot of a kain, he's a plain kain. The hedyot means he's a plain individual. When the person is volunteering a mitzvah, there's no kiyam mitzvah. Is nikra hedyot. So sometimes there is a concept of eina mitzvah v'yoytza, sometimes there's no concept. So you have to, the Rishonim discuss it when on Baba Kama, on Daf Peches, when the Gemara talks about one of volunteers as an eina mitzvah v'yoytza to fulfill mitzvahs. So the Rishonim all ask, and the Magen Avraham talks about the Kashi, quotes a lot of Achrayim, talk about it. When do you say nikra hedyot, and when do you say there is a kiyum on mitzvah? You have to feel your way through it to figure out when is there a kiyum, when is there not a kiyum. But the Talmud speaks not only about women volunteering mitzvah seser shazman gram. The Talmud speaks about non-Jews, nachrim, volunteering to fulfill mitzvahs. Some mitzvahs will make sense that they should volunteer, and some mitzvahs will not make sense. Rabbi Moshe Feinstein has a tshuva, he discusses which makes sense, which don't make sense. The Radvaz on the side of the Rambam and Hilchos Malachim discusses which makes sense, which do not make sense. But here the pasuk seems to say explicitly that this mitzvah of halach to bedrachot, this makes sense for the Yom Yisraelim as well. They were never commanded to observe this mitzvah. They've only given 7 mitzvahs been enough. But if they volunteer to fulfill the mitzvah of halach to bedrachot, it will make sense because they were also created with Tzelem Elokim. So if they imitate the ways of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it won't be that they'll be doing something that just is going to lead them to a nervous breakdown. They're acting like something that doesn't fit in with their personality. No. They'll learn Yerushalayim from the Jewish people. They'll learn how to preserve their Tzelem Elokim and how to polish it up. And they'll also have Shem Hashem Nikra Alecha. They can have it on themselves also. They can also have this Tzelem Elokim. But there are some limitations. like we said, a person going to sit in sukkah, there isn't going to be any sit in sukkah in the rain, is nikra hedyot. That's ridiculous. So in today's sedra, after the mabul, we read in the chumash, one of the limitations. The fact that we have to sit in sukkah, is that because HaKadosh Baruch Hu sits in the sukkah, so the halach b'drachav? No, the Tanakh never describes that Baruch Shalom is sitting in the sukkah. The fact that we shake a lulav, we eat matzah mar, because God eats matzah mar. No, it never says in the Chazal that the Baruch Shalom eats matzah mar. But the Chazal say that the Rebbeinu Shlom wears tefillin every day. What do you mean he wears tefillin? And the Gemara says, what are the four parshas? We have four parshas. What four parshas says? The Rebbeinu Shlom have all discussion in the Gemara. What it means fully, we don't understand. But little bit we do understand that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to know that when we're late tefillin, this will not only be a mitzvah like sitting in sukkah and eating matzah mar. Our wearing tefillin is a fulfillment of the halach to the drachim, because in a certain sense we don't understand what that means. HaKadosh Baruch Hu wears tefillin. Or when we daven, the Gemara says, "Minayin HaKadosh Baruch Hu mispala." HaKadosh Baruch Hu prays also. Whom does he pray to? He prays to himself. So what does it mean he davens? We don't understand what it means. But the Gemara quotes a pasuk. Aviyasim al-hakotchev is machtim beveis tefilasi. They'll come to my base tefillah. Koshev shad base tefillah to mean my bias, but they're going to daven. So the Gemara says, no, based philosophy. That's where I daven. The Rebbeinu Shlom davens there. So what do you mean the Rebbeinu Shlom davens himself? We don't understand what it means, but part of what the Gemara is driving at is that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants us to know that when we daven, it's not only a mitzvah of davening, it's a part of partial fulfillment of the mitzvah of halach v'drachah. And Talmud Torah, the rabbis in the Gemara have different agadites that HaKadosh Baruch Hu learns Torah and HaKadosh Baruch Hu teaches Torah. What's the relevance of saying that he learns Torah? That when we learn Torah, it's not just a mitzvah like matzah, mara, sukkah, and lulav, it's a chelik of the mitzvah of halach v'drachah. Some of the mitzvahs of Torah are only mitzvahs, and some of them are not only mitzvahs, they fall under the heading of halach v'drachah as well. So one of those several mitzvahs that are considered a fulfillment of halach v'drachah is the mitzvah of observing Shabbos. The pasuk says, "V'shama b'nei Yisrael sa Shabbos." Because God created the world in 6 days and he rested on the seventh day, that's why he commanded the Jewish people to go in his way. This is a chelak of halach v'drachav. So if Shabbos is a chelak of halach v'drachav, then one ought to argue the point and say that this would certainly make sense for the nochrim, for the Ummah Salem to volunteer. They have the same Tzelem Elikim that we have. All of men, Chaviv Adam Shenivri B'Tzelem, everybody was created B'Tzelem Elohim. So true, they're not obligated to observe Shabbos, but it would make sense that if they'll volunteer it, this certainly will be an Eina Mitzvah V'Yoisa, and it'll fit in with their personality. They should observe Shabbos, Abchina V'Halach T'V'Drachah. So the Chumash says wrong. After the Mabul, the Chumash says, Yomam V'Layla Lo Yishbos. And the Talmud understands on that Pasuk that a Nochri is not permitted to observe Shabbos. And that's what we say in the Shemana Esrei. Lo nesata Hashem alakel legoi ha'arotzos. Lo chalta v'lohen chalta liob de psilim. Kama nechosa vishkan ha'arelim. Did Nochrim have no shaykhis with this mitzvah? Other mitzvahs, if they want, they can volunteer to fulfill as an eina mitzvah v'yoyse. And Shabbos is cut out. Why is it cut out? It's a mitzvah that the Chumash prescribes because of a halach to the drocha. And the Ummah Salem also have a tzelem alakim. So apparently, we have to read the next line in the Mishnah and all this. Chaviv Adam Shenivri B'Tzelem Chaviv Yisrael Shenikru Banam Lamokar. There is a Maila that Bnei Yisrael have that the Ummah Salem do not have. True, everyone, all human beings have the Maila of Tzelem Elokim, but not all human beings have the Maila of Banim Lamokar. Banim Atem L'Hashem Elokim means only the Bnei Yisrael. Unless someone, the Maharal Miprag writes, unless someone read the pasuk wrong, the Jewish people are children of God, like all human beings are children of God. We're all children of God. So the pasuk repeats it and says, no, people have a lot of children, but there's only one who's the b'chor. Only one child is the b'chor. So the pasuk says, b'ni b'chor Yisrael. B'nei Yisrael are the b'chor. What it means is that only b'nei Yisrael are called the b'adam l'mokim. The others are not. That's how the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos. Chaviv Adam Shenivri B'Tzelem, Chaviv and Yisrael Shenikru Banim L'Amokam. What does it mean, Banim L'Amokam? Like the parents give over the DNA to their children, so too, we have something in our genes, we have something in our neshama, that the Ummah Salam don't have. Everyone has a concept of, everyone shares this concept of Salam Alakin. Ibn Israel have this unique feature, Abarim Lamakam, more of a Salam Alakin, to a greater degree than Salam Alakin. So that's what the Kuzari has a discussion of. Kuzari is a historical novel that there was a non-Jewish king who was Ibn Abi Azara, and he had a recurrent dream that Kavanascha Ritzuya Aval Maasecha Einam Ritzuya. He's worshipping the wrong religion. His Kavanas Al Hashem Shamayim, he has noble intentions, but he's worshipping the wrong religion, so he should research it and find out which is the dream should have told him which is the correct religion. No, dream didn't tell him what's the correct religion. He just had a dream, he's worshipping Avodah Zarah. He should find out which is the correct religion. So the two popular religions at that time were Christianity and Islam. So he didn't even have a half minute to look into this. Some of the other religions didn't have a half minute to look into the other. So he was going to invite a galach, a Christian galach, and he was going to invite a representative of Islam. And then after the last minute, he decided to invite a rabbi. And then he fell in love with the rabbi, and he converted to Judaism, and then all the members of the cabinet converted to Judaism, and then the whole nation converted. And the Kuzarim, that part is history. That's real history. There was such a nation of Kuzarim who were Gerim. The whole story, that's the way Rabbi Yudah Levi describes it in the whole conversation back and forth, that's already a historical novel that he made up, and what questions he asked and what answers he gave. So that's the novel part. Interesting. That's a presentation of what Judaism is all about. So in the beginning of the Kuzari, so he's the rabbi is presenting the Jewish religion. So he says, you all know the philosophers in the Middle Ages used to divide everything in the world into four categories: Demim Sameach, Chai Medaber, mineral, vegetable, animal. Usually in America they say animal, vegetable, mineral, going down. So they said mineral, vegetable, animal, and Medaber, human being. The halacha distinguishes also. There are some halachas that only apply to vegetable as opposed to mineral. Kotzer. Halachas kotzer on Shabbos. It's only on things that grow. There's no kotzer if you break out a stone from a mountain. There's no malacha of kotzer. Maybe a different malacha. Rashi said that's makabat patish when you break a stone out from a mountain. But it's not kotzer. And netilas neshama doesn't apply to vegetables. It only applies to living animals. The halacha also distinguishes between these categories. So Rabbi Yudah Halevi puts into the mouth of the rabbi when he's carrying on the conversation with the Melech HaKuzarim that you all think that everything in the world is divided into four categories, Damim Sameach, Chai, Medaber, the human being, you're mistaken. What if I'll tell you that there's a person who has the ability to live for 40 days and 40 nights without eating, without drinking, and he stays up and he speaks to God the whole time? So the Melech HaKuzarim says, well, that's not a human being, that's an angel. That's not on this world. The angels are from the other Mithral Yonim. So he says, no, it's on this world. The Jewish people. What Jewish people? Moshe Rabbeinu. There was one person. Moshe Rabbeinu was unique. He was the Adon HaNeviim, but the Kuzari understands, Rabbi Yudah Halevi and the Kuzari understands that the ability of Moshe Rabbeinu to stay up for 40 days and 40 nights, Lechem La'achalti, Amayim Lo Shasisi, and Kabbalah Satorah Bayom HaBalayla, this was not unique to Moshe Rabbeinu. That was all the Jewish people are cut out for that. We haven't heard of anybody else who succeeded in doing it yet. People who do it probably have a nervous breakdown. They'll crack up, or they'll fall asleep, or they'll die. Something like that. But the Rabbi Yudah Halevi assumes that this is not because Moshe Rabbeinu was the Adon HaNeviim. This is because he was a Jewish person. And all the Jewish people have. And the pasuk says, "Panim v'fanim dibra Hashem imochem." But Har Sinai, we had a Gilui Shechina, we had the Nevuah like the Madrega of Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu. Rambam speaks in Hilchos Yisrei HaTorah about the differences, the four major differences between the Nevuah Moshe Rabbeinu and the prophecy of the other Nevi'im, all based on the Pesukim in Chumash. And then the Pasuk says, because Moshe Rabbeinu is the Adon HaNevi'im, the Rambam says we believe in two Ikori HaMuna, we believe that there is Nevuah, and we believe Moshe Rabbeinu was the Adon HaNevi'im, that his Nevuah was different from that of the other Nevi'im. But one of the Ikorim, one of the differences between Moshe Rabbeinu and the other Nevi'im was that the other Nevi'im had a Nevuah b'chaloyim. They lost all of their senses. They would fall down. They would fall asleep. Nofel gluy noyim. They would be sleeping. And Moshe Rabbeinu had a Nevuah panim b'fanim. He wouldn't kedaber ishal b'yei. He wouldn't fall down and he wouldn't fall asleep. So all of Bnei Yisrael had that madrega of Nevuah Har Sinai. Panim b'fanim dibra Hashem imochem. So Rabbi Yudah Halevi understands that they're staying up 40 days and 40 nights and not eating and not drinking, that was basically the whole quality so I'll have to have the kunah. We all have the ability to reach that madrega. Moshe Rabbeinu was there. Don Avin, he had even higher. But that possibility existed for all of Bnei Yisrael. So he developed this idea that there are really five categories in the world. There's Damim, Tzameh, Achai, Medaber, and Yisrael, Bnei Yisrael. That's where Rab Chaim Moser was. Rab Chaim Moser was the last rabbi in Vilna, and he died in the middle of the Second World War. He died around 1940, 1941. So he, before Vilna was destroyed, before the Nazis had a chance to destroy all of Vilna. So he was very enamored of Rab Chaim Soloveitchik. He loved he knew Rab Chaim Soloveitchik from Volozhin. And in his tshuva, he quotes the first tshuva. He has a tshuva about a soita, halacha lemaisa, about a soita where they need chalitza. So he quotes Yedidi, Mokiri, whatever. He loves Rab Chaim Soloveitchik. And when he knew in the later years, when he dealt with Rab Chaim Soloveitchik was, Volozhin was closed already. Volozhin closed in 1891. And Rab Chaim Soloveitchik was the rabbi in Brisk then. So he used to refer to Rab Chaim as the Briskerov, as the rabbi in Brisk. So he used to say, his melitza was that everything in the world is divided into four categories. Damin, Sameh, Chaim, Medaber, Briskerov. Briskerov is a different madrig. So that's a takeoff on the Loshin that the Kuzari writes. That everything in the world is divided into five categories. Damin, Sameh, Chaim, Medaber, Bnei Yisrael. Bnei Yisrael are a different category. It's a new category of Bonim Lamakum. Well, what does it mean, this new category of Bonim Lamakum? So the Kuzari elaborates on this thing. So he says when HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam HaRishon, he implanted within him some Inyan Hu'eliki, some divine, some deep, intense characteristic of Tzelem Elokim, which Adam HaRishon did not succeed in transmitting to all of his children. Some of the children had it, and the others did not. He had a lot of children. So you read Cain and Hevel. So the Mefarshim HaChumash point out Cain had some milus, but he had some chesrinus. So Hevel had milus and he had chesrinus. Each one had pros and cons, like all human beings. But apparently, Adam HaRishon did not transmit the Inyan HaLaki to either of them. Which one of the children of Adam HaRishon got the Inyan HaLaki? That Sheth. And then Sheth had Bayon and Bonim Abonis, but not all of his children had the Inyan HaLaki. He only transmitted it to one person, to Enosh, to Kenon, Mahalalel, and so on. Throughout all the generations, the Inyan HaLaki was only transmitted to one, and all the others were left with the Tzelem HaLakim, but on a lower level of Tzelem HaLakim. And the one son who succeeded in getting this Inyan HaLaki, he was different from all of the others. And this went on till the days of Noach, and Noach had three children, Shem, Kam, and Yefes, and one was rotten, and one was not bad, and one was really good, Shem. So Inyan HaLaki went over to Shem, and then you go by to Tila Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu had more than one son. He had Yishmael and he had Yitzchak. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu told him they're not both going to be Jewish. You will not succeed in transmitting Inyan HaLaki to all of your children. Kibi Yitzchak, Yikar L'Chazer. Only Yitzchak, and Yishmael is not. And then Yitzchak had twins from same mother, the same father. The Medrash says they looked alike, but they were not identical twins. The Pasuk says Esau was Ish-Seir and Yaakov was Ish-Cholok. He had smooth skin and he had hairy skin. They were different, but they were twins from the same mother, the same father. So only Yaakov was Jewish and Esau was not Jewish. But Ohevas Yaakov as Esau son Esau. The pasuk says in Novi and after Esau was rejected, he didn't have the Inyan HaLaki. When you finally come to Yaakov Avinu, so then the rabbis of the Gemara, the rabbis of the Talmud have an expression, Yankov was Mitosa Shlema. All of his children were Jewish. Mitosa Shlema by Lubavitch means only the children are Lubavitch. Not just that they're Jewish. Yeah. Like when we before we go to sleep at night, so we say, Sahi Mitosa Shlema Lafanachu, we pray to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Of course all the children are going to be Jewish, unless I marry a Nochris. If I marry a non-Jewish woman, so the children will not be Jewish. But if I marry a Jewish woman, of course all the children will be Jewish. So we use the expression also. In the Gemara, the expression Mitosa Shlema means all the children are Jewish. And in the Bracha that we recite before we go to sleep, so we use the expression like the Lubavitch. See Mitosa Shlema Lefanach means all the children should be Shomrei Mitzvahs. They should all be religious Jews, not just that they should be Jewish. But from the days of Yaakov Avinu on, the Inyan HaLaki was chal on all of the Jewish people. And even if a Jew becomes a Meshumid, so the accepted opinion is that Yisrael, even Hamadasa, even if he becomes a Meshumid, He remains a Jew. There was such an opinion that once a Jew converts, he loses Kedushas Yisrael. And that's not the accepted opinion. The Gemara in the end of the first parak in Yevamos quotes one opinion in Amoraim that if a non-Jew is Mekadosh and Isha Bizman Hazeh, Choshishim Likidushin, you have to be concerned, maybe that non-Jew is from the Aseres HaShvatim. Maybe his mother, all the way back, was from the Aseres HaShvatim. So then the Gemara rejects that. We don't pass them like that. That the Aseres HaShvatim lost their Kedushas Yisrael, because the Navi said, Bashem Bagodu Kibbonim Zarim Yolodu. They lost the Kedushas Yisrael. So there's a big machlokes in the Rishonim and Goenim, before the days of the Rishonim, how to understand that Gemara, how to understand that pasuk. This Dvar HaNavi, this halacha that the Navi says, Bashem Bagodu Kibbonim Zarim Yolodu, and the Gemara has an expression, Lozazim Isham, Achasom Kachim Gemurim Lechol Divrei. The Chachamim declared, when the Shaila came up, with Akam Shikirish Esraisha Bizman Hazeh, is Choshish in the Kiddushin or not? So the Gemara says, we pass can no. On that occasion, they ascertained that the Aseres HaShvatim lost, they forfeited the Kiddushin Yisrael. So is that Nevuah only restricted to the Aseres HaShvatim? Maybe it applies to any group of Jews who float away so far away from mainstream Judaism that they also lose their status of Kiddushin Yisrael. The Gemara has such an expression in the beginning of Chulin. The Gemara speaks about the Kusim. That the Kusim, originally when they converted in the days of the Tanakh, that was a farce. That conversion was meaningless because it says that Shalahem Hayu Ovdim. They still continued to worship Avodah Zarah. So Tosfos points out the Kama Mekaymes, there was no Kabbalah on mitzvahs, that they still worshipped Avodah Zarah. So the Kusim's conversion was meaningless. But then the Tanaim had a machlekes, a historical machlekes. Should we assume that at some later point in history they underwent a second conversion? At that time there were Mekabal Ol Mitzvahs, so the Kusim Ageri Emes. Should we assume? No, we have no record of this. We have no evidence that there ever was a second conversion. The problem is that in the days of the Tanaim, the Kusim were keeping a lot of the Mitzvahs. They were keeping Torah Shebuchsav, they weren't keeping Torah Shebuchsav. So where did that come from? If in the beginning they were worshipping Avodah Zarah, Selahem Hayu Ovdim, and they only converted superficially, like in Eretz Yisrael today. A lot of people convert just in order to get citizenship, in order to get ahead in the army, whatever. It's a farce, superficial. So how did it happen that in the days of the Tanaim they were keeping, and they were medaktik yaisim yisod, the mitzvahs that they observed more fiercely and more intensely than the regular Jews. So where did that come from? So half of the Tanaim said vanished. They hung around the Jews so long, so they picked up some of the mitzvahs, but they were never going from day number one. They were never Jews, the conversion was never anything. The first conversion described in Tanakh was nothing, and there never was anything after that, and they were going from the beginning to the end. And that's not the accepted opinion. We assume, no, the original conversion described in Tanakh was zero, because that was Elohim HaYovdim. We assume historically that they did convert again a second time. The Emes, and they were Geri Emes, they did convert a second time. But then, in the days of the Tanoim, they were playing such shtick, they were playing such shenanigans, that they decided they were only going to keep Torah Shebuchsav, they're not going to keep Torah Shebaalpeh. So the Chachamim, and then the Chachamim investigated, and they saw that some of them were worshipping Avodah Zarah, and Hagrizim, they had the Musdiyayin, the Gemara says, and Hagrizim, so the Chachamim said, this is it. They went too far away. I would guess that the Reform Jews today are further away than the Kusim. But Baruch Hashem, nobody declared anything about the Reform Jews. No Rabbonim are prepared to declare anything. But in the days of the Tanoim, they declared, Ad Khan, that's it, we hereby declare that these people are goyim gemurim l'chol divrei. So the Rambam's opinion is, many Rishonim hold that when he declared on the Kusim, Asom Kachim gemurim l'chol divrei, it's not only l'hachmir, that shchitos anevele, and it's possible to see the Sefer Torah, it's even l'hakel, that if a Kusi dies, he's not mitami ba'ohel, it's only mitami b'magav ma'asim, not mitami ba'ohel. That's how the Rambam writes in the Pirush HaMishnayos, in the end of Nidah. In Shulchan Aruch, they quote this Pirush HaMishnayos. They quote a lot of Rishonim who hold like that also, big machlokes, that the Kusim was a whole group of people who floated away so far away from mainstream Judaism that the Nevuah that appears in Tanakh with respect to the Aseres HaShvatim, Bashem Bagod, the Kiborim, Zarim Yolodu, that they lost the Kedushas Yisrael, even applied to the Kusim. Any group of Jews who go away so far from mainstream Judaism and the Chachamim declare that the Nevuah applies to them, so they lose the Kedushas Yisrael, afilo lahakil. Bein lahakol, bein lahak. And then there's even a further, that's a machlekes in Shulchan Aruch. How do we tasken on that? That's a machlekes. If a kusi is mekadosh anisha bizman hazeh, do you say the kedushan achal? Or the kedushan anachal? We don't have any kusi. They died out a long time ago, but in the earlier generations there were kusi. There were still kusi. So they had such a machlekes. If a kusi is mekadosh anisha bizman hazeh, are you choshish in the kedushan or not? Does the nevuah that was said with respect to the teres hashvatin apply to the kusim also? The mamish ka'akum glum b'chol debre. Oh no, this is a din of mumad din ka'akum, which is only lahachna, not lahakil. And then the Gaonim took this pasuk b'ashem b'agod, the kibbarim z'arim yeloda, they took that pasuk as meaning that any Jew who converts to another religion loses his kedushas Yisrael, period. Any mishuman becomes a goy. The Gemara says that if a mishuman is mekadosh an isha, the kedushan achal. So the Gaonim say that's a chumim in the rabban. That's not minatar. Because minatar, any Jew who converts to another religion loses his kedushas Yisrael. So getting back again, the Kuzari develops this thing that originally HaKadosh Baruch Hu created Adam Arishon, B'Tzelem Elokim, with a very intense Tzelem Elokim. But Adam Arishon only transmitted this Tzelem Elokim somehow, the genetics were such. It was only transmitted to one of his many children, to Sheis, not to Kaina, not to Hevel. It was transmitted to Sheis, and Sheis only transmitted it to one child. So it came in a later generation, in every generation there was only one person who had this Inyan Hu'eliki. And Avraham Avinu also only transmitted it to one son, and Yitzchak only transmitted it to one son. And Yaakov, in the days of Yaakov Avinu one, the halacha says that a Yisrael who becomes a Meshumid remains a Jew. The Jewish people are Mitos HaShlema. We would hope that it should be Mitos HaShlema, they should all be religious also. But they are Mitos HaShlema in the sense that all of the children are Jewish. Even if they become a Meshumid, they're still considered Jewish. So this Inyan Eliki, as the generations went on, only was transmitted to one person and the others didn't have it. So the others only had the level of Tzelem Elokim, and there was always in every generation one person who had some more intense level of Tzelem Elokim. So after the punishment of the Mabul, so the Pasuk declares Yomim V'Laila Lo Yishbos. Then until now, apparently it sounds like HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't command anybody to keep Shabbos, but if anyone would volunteer to observe Shabbos at that time, there would be Binyanin, Yenaveinu Mitzuva V'Yosef. Whoever wants to volunteer to observe Shabbos, everyone is created the Tzelem Elokim. Everybody had an Inyan of Tzelem Elokim. They didn't have this added feature of the Inyan Hu Eloki. That was the intense degree of Tzelem Elokim was only by one person in every generation. But they all shared Tzelem Elokim. So from the Chumash, it sounds as if up until the punishment of the Mabul, who would, whatever Nachri would want to volunteer to observe Shabbos, is Gizun Tehe, observe Shabbos, fine. As a Prina of Ba'alach de B'drachav, Mahu Apato, just like that's a madrega of the halakta v'drachav. And now HaKadosh Baruch Hu, after the punishment of the Mabul, there was a major lowering of the level of the Tzelem Elokim. The pasuk says, from now on, the Nochrim are not permitted to volunteer to observe Shabbos. Only that one in every generation who had this Inyan Hu'eliki, he had the Tzelem Elokim to its deepest level, he would be allowed to. The pasuk goes on the millions of the other people. Everybody else was not permitted to volunteer to observe Shabbos. I don't know. That's a big problem. The Gemara has a machlokes hatanaim, whether that teres hashvatim are going to come back, not going to come back. So how does that drive? Rashi asked the kashya. Rashi in the Rishonim Achronim asking on the last parak in Sanhedrin, how does this drive with the Gemara in the end of the first parak in Yevamos? But they task in halacha lemaisa that the teres hashvatim lost the kedushas Yisrael. So what do they mean they're going to come back? They're going to have to convert again. We don't have enough converts. You have enough trouble from the converts that we have. What do we need more converts? I don't know. So Rashi works on that, and others are not satisfied with what Rashi says. Others give other suggestions. That's a big problem. We don't know exactly how this fits in together. Yeah. The Gemara learns it out from this pasuk. Yom Ha'Avodah Yisrael. The Zohar comments on Beni Ben Meir's Oros of Yerlom that this is only unique to the Jewish people. But it's the same idea. The same idea from the Tuk-Tuk. After the punishment of the Dor HaPlogeh, there was also a diminishing in the level of the Tzelem Elokim. When the philosophers of the Middle Ages divided everything in the Bria into four categories, Damim Tameh, Chai Medaber, so why did they choose to call the human being the Medaber? So this is based on the Psukim in Bereshis, that the Pasuk says that after the Chet of the Eitz Hadas, Adam HaRishon gave his wife a name. He called her Chava, Kihi Hoisa Ein Kol Choy. What does that mean? How does it fit? Chava, you should have called her Chaya. So the Mefarshim, the Rishonim HaKadoshim say that Yud and Vav Am is Chalfa. So what does it mean, Ein Kol Choy? So some of the Mefarshim explain Ein Kol Choy means Ein Kol Chov, the mother of all of the Medabrim. Like we say, Yom Liyom Yabi Oimer Velaylo Lelaylo Yechavedos. Yechaved means to speak. So here also, Kihi Heisa Ein Kol Choy is Yud and Vav Am is Chalfim, but it really means Ein Kol Chov. She was the mother of all of the Medabrim. The human beings are called Medaber because speech represents Seichel. The parrot can also speak. And the parrot, not only parrot what you said, the parrot when you walk in the door will say, Shalom Aleichem, how are you? The parrot, he can learn enough to initiate the conversation also. But that's a lower level of speech. And the behemoths also have speech, and the birds have speech. There's a parrot Shira that talks about all the speech. But their speech is considered on a lower level. The human being's speech is unique. The Pasuk says that Chava is given that name because he is the Ein Kol Chai, the mother of all of the Medabrim. And earlier the Pasuk says, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu formed the body of Adam HaRishon, Vayipach Biyapav Nishmas Chaim Vahih Adam LeNefesh Chaya, so Rav Chaim Valojiner quotes the Targum Onkelos on that Pasuk, and the Nefesh Chaim quotes the Targum Onkelos that Nefesh Chaya means, what does it mean? HaKadosh Baruch Hu breathed a breath of life into their body, and then Adam HaRishon became a wild animal, Nefesh Chaya. He became a wild animal. No, so Nefesh Chaya means Chavo. He got the ability to speak. Leruach Memalolo. He got the ability to speak. So that pasuk also, the Yud and the Vav Am is Chalfos, according to the Targum Onkelos. And when the pasuk says that Adam HaRishon was formed as a Nefesh Chaya, it means a Nefesh Chavo, an animal that has the ability to speak, which is a higher Madrege. It's not only a daimim atameach chai, it's a medaber. So that's where this expression comes from, that we refer to the human being as a medaber because of the ability to speak. The Gemara has a famous comment in Kiddushin. The Gemara says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent down 10 measures of speech into this world, and the women got 9 measures, and the men got 1 measure. That's because Adam HaRishon called his wife Chava. She's the medaber. But the pasuk says before that he was the medaber. So how did the Chazal decide that the women speak 9 times as much as the men? I don't know. But they're both chava. He was a nefesh chava, ruach memala, and she was chava, memala. Both speak. So the pasuk and the Gemara. And the Gemara assumes that this koyach hadibur that man has is something that's considered unique. This is representative of the fact that he was created, B'Tzelem Elokim. The pasuk says, "Basar Ma'amoris Nivra Ha'olam." HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. He made 10 declarations. He made 10 pronouncements. What do you mean? He really had to say, "Bayom Elokim Yihior." He had to say, "Yihi Rakia Yikov Ha'amayim." It's not to be taken literally. Who was he talking to? Who did he tell it to? Yihi Rakia. He didn't tell it to anybody. It's not really so that he said these to somebody. It's like Rashi writes on Chumash and says, "Vayomashvi shavaz vayinafash." God rested. He regained his strength. What do you mean he regained his strength? Well, he had to work hard when he created the world. We say in Akdamas that we recite on Shavuos, "Belo leu shachlalei, belo tishishusa." When God created the world, he didn't get exhausted. There was no exertion of effort or energy. Just Basa Kalila. He just made a declaration that the world was created. So he didn't have to work hard. So what does the pasuk mean? Vayinofash? Vayonach vayamashvi? What do you mean vayonach vayamashvi? So Rashi and Chumash quotes from the Medrash, "Hichtiv biatma menucha." So Kadosh Baruch Hu dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu, write menucha, that people should understand it's not false, it's not 100% true, but it's certainly not false. Because Kadosh Baruch Hu said, right, that's what I did, in order that people should understand that to act B'Tzelem Elokim, they have to rest on Shabbos. This is part of B'Tzelem Elokim. The Rambam writes like that in the Mishneh Torah. The Rambam, when the Rambam in the Hilchos Deis talks about the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Alach B'Drachos, he says, and it's for this reason that the Tanakh describes all the different activities of HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to know how to fulfill the mitzvah of Halakh to Bidracha. HaKadosh Baruch Hu tells Moshe Rabbeinu, and he tells the Nevi'im to write down, to record these, the way he runs things, and they're written down in a certain way, Hichta Biatzmo. They're written in a certain way as to lead us to believe that that's how we're supposed to act in order to go in the ways of God. So Shabbos is described as a day of rest, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Kivayochel, as if he did, rested on Shabbos to teach us that we should go in the ways of God, Halakh to Bidracha, by observing Shabbos. That's the fulfillment of Allah to Bidracha. And similarly, the Psukim say, Vayomer Elokim, that God spoke, and Baruch Shama, Vahayu Ha'olam, he didn't really speak, he didn't have the Karech HaDibur, Baruch Shama doesn't have to speak, but Hichtav the Atzma Dibur, to teach us that we should use our Dibur for creative purposes. We shouldn't waste our breath, we shouldn't misuse our Karech HaDibur. The Gemara says in one place in the end of Sotah, I think, the Gemara says, what keeps the world going? The Gemara says, the Gemara's answer is, Hevel Piyim, Shel Tinoika, Shel Beis Rabban. The little children who are learning Abba Ben, they're learning Siddur, they're learning Chumash, so Neschus, the world continues to be maintained. So the Gemara says, the little children, the Abba Ben, but what about the DVD Dochmai? What about our learning? We learn Marshaws, or Baruch Bez, or Pshimin, a much higher Madregan than the little children. They don't even know what they're saying. So our learning is on a much higher level. So if the Rebbeinu Shalom maintains the world in the schus of Talmud Torah, so it should be Torah sent to the world. Our learning, but that is the little children. So the Gemara says, no, that the Divide Doch, my learning and your learning, is Pogum, because we have already defiled our lips with Divrei Nivul Peh, and with Lashon Hara, and with Rechilas, and with Machloikas, and with the Lashon Meguna. The Gemara speaks about the importance of speaking a proper language, even if it's not Nivul Peh. The Gemara speaks about Habeima Asher Einena Tehoira. It's also in today's Sedra. Instead of saying Habeima Tmeya, when you're saying over the Halacha, so the Gemara says, Li'olam Yaladam Adam L'Talmida Derech Ktsara. You should always try to say everything in a nutshell, say everything in one word. So you say, this is a treif. But whenever it's not, because if you say it b'kitzur, so it'll be more exaggerated and it'll be understood better. If you say everything b'kitzur, so the Talmidim will understand it faster, and they'll be able to retain it better, and they'll be able to transmit it better, and so on. But once in a while, a person has to go out of his way to say, this is not kosher, instead of saying, this is treif, to say, halosha nekiyah. This is abeim asher enenet tahira. It's important to use nekiyah's halosha, a fancy nekiyah, not only not to have nebel peh, to have Nikiyas Haloshim. So the Gemara says, B'dibididok, my learning and your learning, on one level, is much higher than the learning of the children. The children is Ababeh. What do they understand? The adults understand much better. But on another level, the learning of the children comes from a mouth that has not been defiled with the Dvarim Huasurim. As opposed to the mouth and the lips and the tongue of the adults, which has already been defiled. So the Korech HaDibur is something that's considered unique to man. Nefesh Kaya, Leruach Memalala, Ein Kol Chai, Ein Kol Chav. This is why man is called the Medaber, and with the Korech HaDibur that he has, he can accomplish tremendous things. Rav Chaim Volozhiner quotes the Pasuk in Yeshaya. That's in one of the Haftaras that we just had. V'asim Dvorai B'Sicho, V'tzel Yodi Ki Sisich L'Tor Hashemayim V'Lisad Oretz V'Leim Adetiyom Malach Elokoyah. So he says, what does the Pasuk say? Awesome, Dvarai B'Sicho, I put my words into your mouth, God says. I put the Korech HaDibur into your mouth, and Tor Shamayim Elisa Doris. The man has the ability with the Korech HaDibur to create Olam Yisrael Yoinim. If he davens properly, and he learns Torah properly, and he doesn't misuse his Korech HaDibur, he can do tremendous things. So the Pasukim tell us that after the Yiridus HaDoris, there was a Yiridus HaDoris, but the Malei Ha'aretz Chomos till the Mabul came. And after the Mabul, apparently the punishment was that men, Tzelem Elokim, was lowered to such a level that the others were not permitted to observe Shabbos anymore. Only the one who has this inyan who eliki. By the others, it would be totally out of place. Yomim v'layla lo yishbosa. They're going to try to imitate the ways of God. That's like Allah, I make believe like I'm a nuclear physicist. I have no shaykhus with it. What do you mean you're going to imitate God? Imitate God in Rachum, Chanun, Erech Hapayim, other things, but to imitate God in Shvisus HaShabbos, that's only for the Bnei Yisrael, only for those who have this inyan who eliki. For the others, it's totally out of place. Apparently, after the punishment of the Dor HaPlaga, there was also a major diminishing of the Tzelem Elokim. The nature of the punishment was, Bodal Hashem Sfas Kol Ha'aretz. The Koyach HaDibur was lowered. The Koyach HaDibur that singles out human beings, which is an aspect of the Tzelem Elokim, because the Psukim HaKadosh Baruch Hu dictated to Moshe Rabbeinu Nechumish, write Vayom Elokim Yihiyar, write Vayom Elokim Yihi Rakia, write all this in the Chumash, that I have a Koyach HaDibur with which I can create. And he implanted that Koyach HaDibur into all of the human beings. So as the generations went on and there was a Yiridus HaDeiros, the HaKadosh Baruch Hu was poigain the level of the Tzelem Elokim that all of man originally had. And after the Dor HaPlaga, there was Volal Hashem Paskalos. There was a weakening in the Koyach HaDibur. So that's what many point out. It's a popular notion in recent times. That's what many point out. The Mishnah in Bava Metzia speaks about a person who's in business. And Zayn Oymet B'Diburoi. Let's say if you sell Metalkalim, you buy it, you sell Metalkalim, and the money was already given over, but you didn't make the Kinyan Meshicha yet, you didn't make the Kinyan Haboy yet. So the Mishnah says that you can back out, either Menaterim or the Rabbanim, whatever it is, the whole discussion in the Gemara, the Halacha says you can back out. But it's a terrible thing to be Eino Emid V'Dibura. If the person took the money and then he backs out, that's a terrible Aveira. And whoever backs out after making the Kinyan Mois, before he made the Kinyan Meshicha Haboy, we tell him, if you want to, you can back out. We won't force you to go through with the deal, but we're going to punish you for backing out. So what's the punishment? Sometimes the guy doesn't care about the punishment. Sometimes he will be so concerned about the punishment, this will deter him from backing out. The punishment is, the Beis Din curses him, and they give him a Mishapara, the opposite of a Mishabera. In Yiddish, he called this also a Mishabera, but it's a Mishapara. So we say, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the God in heaven above, who punished the Dor HaMabul and the Dor HaFloge, should punish you for being Eino Emet B'Dibura. So it's a popular notion in recent Sforim, why did they single out the Dor HaFloge? Because the Dor HaPlaga's punishment was that the Koyach HaDibur was weakened. Volal Hashem Sfas Kol Ha'aretz. Their Tzelem Elokim, their Madrega of Tzelem Elokim was lowered. That's what happened both times. Both after the punishment of the Mabul, as well as the punishment of the Dor HaPlaga. In both punishments, there was a major punishment, not just suffering. The level of Tzelem Elokim was lessened. After the Mabul, we see that no more volunteering Shvisa Shabbos. It just doesn't fit in with all the other people. It's the Shvisa Shabbos, the volunteer, is the Inyan of Halachta B'drachav. It doesn't fit in with any of the people who don't have this Inyan Ha'eliki. In the earlier generation, it sounds like it did fit in. And after the Mabul, there was a lowering of the Tzelem Elokim, doesn't fit in. And after the Dor HaPlaga, there was a further lowering of the level of the Tzelem Elokim, that the Koyach HaMedaber, which is what's unique to us, was weakened. So that's why this fellow who's violating his word, he's not keeping his promise. He's saying, Amit B'Dibura, so we punish him, we say, we curse him. He said, the Bani Shalom who punish the Dor HaMabul and Dor HaPlaga should punish you for being Ein Amit B'Dibura. You're not using your Koyach HaMedaber in the proper fashion. Chirachavsh is with many more things, yeah. The Ikat Chirachavshis, together with other aspects of Elokus, of Rab Mechanan, all the Midas of Elokus were implanted within all of mankind. And as things are now, the Bnei Yisrael have this more intense degree of Tzelem Elokim. We have what we call Banim LaMakom. So we have halachas, we have many halachas based on that assumption. Take, for example, the famous din that the Rambam quotes in the Gemara, that once in a while the halacha says that Bezna has the right to force a man to give his wife a get. So the Gemara asked Akasha, the Rambam quotes, the Gemara asked Akasha, but the halacha says get Mu'usa is no good. He has to give the get Midaita Mirtzono. So the Rambam quotes the answer that the Gemara gives is not that all Jewish people really have an innate desire to do the wishes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if the Rabbanim tell you you have to divorce your wife, that's the wish of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So this statement that the Rambam says that all Bnei Yisrael have this innate desire, and when you beat up the person and he says, Reitani, it's really true. His real Ani, his real personality, does want to do Ratzon Hashem. Aye, but he does want to give the get. That's a pseudo-personality. His real self does want to do Ratzon Hashem. It does want mitzvah, the Shemad Devei Chachamim, does want to do the mitzvah. So we assume like that. That's surprising. We assume that every Jew has an innate desire to do Ratzon Hashem. Every Jew has an Ava HaMesuteris. The Baal HaTanya coins the phrase Ava HaMesuteris towards HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like Dovan HaMelech says in Tilim Ka'ayol Ta'arog Aleshvike Moyim Kinab Shitarig Elecho Hashem. Like the gazelle has a natural instinct and it knows how to run towards the river and to drink the water. What, the gazelle has a map and he looks on the map. She looks on the map and she knows where. No, it's an instinctive thing. Kinab Shitarig Elecho Hashem. So to all the Jewish people yearn to be close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So we assume that this is only by the Jewish people. By the Umas Oilam, the Chachmi Umas Oilam say it's not so. That's what they call tabula rasa. They say that man's mind is blank and the baby is born and everything is developed later. There is no such thing as an innate, instinctive desire to do Ratzon Hashem. So we assume that they're both Eilu Ve'Eilu Divrei Elokim Chayim. They're right and we're right. They're right as far as Umas Oilam is concerned. We're right as far as Bnei Yisrael is concerned because we have the bottom lamakam. We have these genes. We have this DNA. Originally, Adam Arishan had everything. Originally, Adam Arishan was Betzelem Elokim, and that was the peak. He had the Inyan HaElokei. But then as the generations went on, the Inyan HaElokei was only given to one child, and then the next generation also only it was only transmitted to one child. And then there was a major Yiridus HaDeres after the punishment of the Mabul, and a major Yiridus HaDeres after the punishment of the Dor HaPlogit. As it turns out now, the only ones that have the full Inyan HaElokei with the Tzelem HaElokim with the Balam Lamakam are the Bnei Yisrael. The rest of the Umas Olam don't have it. So it's taka true. We assume by the Umas Olam it is tabula rasa. By Bnei Yisrael it's an innate desire. The Pasuk in Tilim refers now to the Bnei Yisrael. Originally it referred to everybody. But as years went on, things changed. Pasuk says in Navi, the Gemara in Kiddushin, quotes this Pasuk and has a discussion on it. The Jewish people are supposed to be known for their honesty. They're supposed to be more medaktig in their koyach adibur than the Umas Olam. Because we have a more intense degree of Tzelem Elokim, to the extent that we call it Banam Lamakam. We have more of this DNA. The Umas Olam have a lower level that we call Tzelem Elokim. We have a more intense degree of this. We're supposed to serve as the Or LaGoyim. Because we are the Banim Lamakam, B'din Bechori Yisrael, the first child. The oldest child is supposed to help raise the younger children. He's supposed to show by example how the younger children are supposed to behave. So we're B'din Bechori Yisrael. So we're the Yama Nifra, so we're supposed to show the other nations of the world. We're supposed to be the Or LaGoyim to show them how to preserve their Tzelem Elokim. There is an expression in Yiddish and in English as well, a Yiddish cup. So in Yiddish, when we speak about a Yiddish cup, you mean he has a sharp head. Guy's very sharp. Sometimes you have a nanji, you say, he has a Yiddish cup. Or the Chazal say that who's buried in the Maris HaAchpela, Avram and Sarah, and Yitzchak and Rivka, and Yankif and Leah, and the head of Esav. Why the head of Esav? Because he had a Yiddish cup. That's in Yiddish folklore, they say, had a Yiddish cup. Okay. So we use the expression Yishikov in a positive way. The expression is in English also. He has a Jewish head. And in English, it means just the opposite. When you have a crook who is a conniver, he knows how to cheat, and he knows how to day out of everything, and how to gamble from everybody, and cheat on the right and on the left. They call that he has a Jewish head. That's Mamash Achil Hashem. The Jews are supposed to be the Or LaGoyim. We're supposed to be the ones. Sheris Yisrael Yasa Avalov. Lo Yidavu Kaz. We're supposed to be. We're supposed to show them the way to preserve the Tzelem Elokim, and somehow it's not perceived like that. You have to investigate which is the truth, which is the true version, but the perception often is that it's just not so. regarding this Balal Hashem Spas Kol Haaretz, after the Dor HaFloge, what avera did they do that they deserved a punishment? That's the question, what was their avera? So Rashi quotes the Medrash that they wanted to build Migdol V'Rosh HaBashamayim to revolt against HaKadosh Baruch. They planned to climb up to the skies and to revolt against the Ribbono Shel Olam. That's one version in the Medrash. Other opinions in the Medrash say nothing like that. That's a little ridiculous. They were so infantile. They thought that God is, if they climb up high enough, they go in an airplane, where they going to find God? Where are they going to revolt? So the other opinions in the Medrash think that that's not the story. And there's a famous essay by the Ran, in the Drosha Saran, where he explains it's just the story of the United Nations. They were just getting all together. And the United Nations is sometimes a blessing and sometimes a curse. The Mishnah says in Sanhedrin, "Kinus l'tzadikin tov lahem v'tov la'olam," and "Kinus l'rishoyim is ra lahem v'ra la'olam." When rishoyim get together, it's bad enough when you have individual rishoyim that they do rishis and they have a negative hashpoah on the people that they associate with. But if you have a kinus l'rishoyim, they have a conference and they have an organization, and they all get together, then they can destroy the whole world. And kinus l'tzadikim is tov lahem v'tov la'olam. When you have many people join together, agudah, yosachulam agud echad, supposed to be all the yirei shemayim, supposed to join together, latzis tzanach v'leiv v'shalem, to do the wish of God. So kinus l'tzadikim is tov lahem v'tov la'olam. Supposed to be good for the world. So the Ran has a long essay on this topic in the Drosha Saran. He says he doesn't see that they did any avera. They were just, many of them were worshipping Avodah Zarah at that time. And they formed the United Nations, that everyone should be all united together. They said, wow, the Ribbono Shel Olam says, what's going to be? There's going to be a tzaddik Avraham Avinu who's going to want to believe in monotheism. So they're going to kill him. They're going to chase him off the face of the earth. They'll have to run away from, let's say the Jews had to run away from England, they were killing Jews, and then had to run away from France, they were killing Jews, and run away from Germany, they're killing Jews all over. So if you're going to have the United Nations, they're going to adopt uniform policies. So there's going to be Avraham Avinu, going to be a Jewish people. So, Anu Mipanecha Ebrach, where are we going to be able to run away? It's a terrible thing to have all the nations of the world united if they're going to do Dvarim Roim. So they'll all be united. They won't let any tzaddikim breathe. So that's why the Ribbono Shel Olam knocked down this whole idea. He didn't want to have a kinus. He didn't want to have a United Nations. Because it may turn out the raw. That's the question. The United Nations that we have. How much good the United Nations do and how much bad did they do? There was a famous comment that was made. The United Nations ran for a long time. There's a famous comment that may still be true, that the only good thing the United Nations ever did was to recognize HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's what saved all the lives of all the Jews. There was no place for the Jews to go after the war was over. No country in the world wanted to take them. The British had Eretz Yisrael, they wanted to let them into Eretz Yisrael. And by some quirk, some quirk of history, the Ribbono Shel Olam sought to it that the United Nations recognized the HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They had a committee to discuss it. And with the Nisim and Niflaim, they agreed to let the Jewish people establish a Medina. They recognized the Demon HaShemayim, President Truman, was the President of the United States, he recognized the Medina. Then he had Charata the next day, why he recognized the Medina. So that's what some people say, that Adayan Azen, maybe that's the only good thing that the United Nations ever comes. The question, what was the punishment? Came out the Balal Hashem Spas Kol Haaretz. Rashi HaChumash quotes, that the Shivim Lashem were developed at that time. The 70 languages. Is there any significance to this number of 70 languages? Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius has in Ephraim Zalman Margolius was a successful businessman in Brod. And he was not the rabbi in Brod, but he knew how to learn very well, and he wrote the Shavuos HaTshuvos. They didn't ask the rabbi the Shavuos, they asked him. He wrote a lot of svarim. So one of his many svarim is the Shavuos HaTshuvos, based on Ephraim. He's known for his... He wrote many svarim. He was a wealthy businessman. They say that one of his svarim is the Yad Ephraim on the Shulchan Aruch. He has many other svarim. Usually has his name Ephraim in the name of the sefer. So they tell Yiddish folklore, they tell over the story that a poor man once came to him for an adava, and he gave him a very small donation. And he asked him, how do you like my svarim? What do you say to my svarim? Aren't they great? So he said, they're all good except for the Yad Ephraim. He doesn't give enough stuck until the end. Anyway, he's one of the prominent persons. So they have a tshuva that does not appear and the Beis Ephraim, and Shalashiv is Beis Ephraim. He delivered Hespedim also. So there's one volume that has a collection of a few Hespedim with this tshuva. That was at the beginning of the Reform movement in Germany. And one of the first things that they did was that they changed the text of the tefillah. They decided they're going to daven in German. But it's a literal translation of the Siddur. They didn't throw out the Kavanas. They didn't throw away Yom Tov Sheni Shel Golias. They still had separate seating. Everything was 100% except they were davening in German. So what's wrong with davening in German? The Mishnah says they can daven. You can daven b'chol lashon. Yotz b'chol lashon. The Gemara recommends that when a person is davening b'yichidus, he should daven b'loshon HaKodesh, because the Malachi Ashores are not makir loshon Aramis, and some Rishonim hold loshon Aramis means the vernacular, not only Aramaic. It means you shouldn't daven in the vernacular. And a yachid who davens shel every tzibur needs the angels to present his prayers in the Fnei Kisei HaKovet. But the Gemara says if the tzibur davens, so they don't need the angels to present the tzibur HaKodesh Baruch. Henkel Kabir Lo Yemos, the Gemara quotes that first. The Gemara says that the Tzilas HaTzibah go directly to the Ribbono Shel Olam, so they can even daven in the vernacular. They can even daven in Aramaic. So it's great thing Gemara in the Shulchan Aruch, so it's gehalten, 100% it's gehalten. So they started davening in German, in translation, in accordance with the Shulchan Aruch. The only thing they didn't do was, they didn't ask kind of the Gedolei HaTorah for their approval. They had many Rabbanim who knew how to learn. They didn't ask the Gedolei, they knew who the Gedolei was. They didn't ask them for approval. So all the Rabbanim were very upset about this. The Chasam Sofer and Rabbi Kiva Eger and Rabbi Ephraim Zalman Margolius, and they all wrote tshuvas to explain why they think that this is terrible. And each one gave a different reason. The Chasam Sofer says that it's a terrible thing that we don't know Hebrew, but at least if we daven in Hebrew, so at least we know that what are we davening. We don't know what we're talking about, so we're going to have to look in a translation. We're going to try to prepare ourselves for the davening. But if we're going to switch the davening to German, so no one will even try to learn Hebrew. So that'll be a disaster. It's a political consideration. It's not a halachic consideration. And they gave various considerations. Then Rabbi Chaim Zalman Margolius writes another consideration. He's not happy with their translation. He says some of the words they translated inaccurately. You're only yotze if you daven in translation, if it's an accurate translation. If it's inaccurate, so it's not good. Hashem's name can't be translated. That's another argument. Right. So Rabbi Chaim Zalman Margolius has another argument. This is the questionable whether anybody agrees with this argument. He says, when HaKadosh Baruch was Balo Svas Kol Ha'aretz, and at that time came into existence the Shivim Lashon, so the Allah only recognizes the 70 languages. We recognize Lashon HaKadosh. You can be able to davening in Hebrew even if you don't understand Hebrew. That's how we say in Shulchan Aruch. And you can be able to davening in translation if you understand that language. If you speak that language that you're davening in. So Rabbi Chaim Zalman Margolius claims a chiddush, but the halacha only recognizes those shivim lashon that were in existence at the time of the Dor HaPlugah. So he says, so how do we know that the German language in the 1800s was one of the original languages? It probably was not. Probably all those shivim lashon that existed in the days of the Dor HaPlugah were all mixed up now, and the German is probably a blend of 20 different languages. He has a chiddush. He thinks that you're not yotze. The Pashta says that that's not the accepted opinion. Accepted opinion is that our languages have Haskamas HaMedina. They're not. And the first davening in the dorm, that Beis Hamid Aleph writes. What is a language? A language is Haskamas HaMedina. Whatever people make up, that's it. Sure. Avelvela Salavetchik in the Shiurim on the first davening in Nazir is quoted as having raised a suffix. How many people have to speak the language that it should be recognized? Let's say you have a group of college students who speak Pig Latin. Yeah, how many people do you have who speak Pig? When they don't want someone else to understand, so they make up their own language, Pig Latin. So they have, let's say, 20,000 people speak this language. Is that enough? Is that called a language? Well, that's not called a language. A language you have to have, a city, a medina. How many people have to speak the language? Abdullah Salvechi is not sure. He thinks there must be some minimum number of people who speak the language that it should be recognized as a language. But nobody says it has to be one of the original languages from the Shivim Lashon. What's the din? Let that person take the neder or a shvua. So the chalash shayivate yod mishvua. If he says it, it's binding. If he doesn't say it, chisha b'libai, so it's not binding. Tzorach levate disfasa. But once he pronounces the neder or the shvua with his lips, it's binding. Yeah, but he has to speak in a language. So let's say he makes up his own language, gibberish. There are no such words. He makes up his own words. So that's like Chisha Beliba. He never said anything. Unless he says in advance, that's the question. What if he says in advance? When I say, Apchu, I mean bananas. And then he says, and when I say no, I mean yes. When I say yes, I mean no. So he says, I hereby take, when I say neder, I mean shua, when I say shua, I mean neder. Now here goes. I hereby take a neder, that means a shua, that I will not, that means I will, eat hapchu. Means he just took a neder that he will eat bananas. So he just made up his own words. He gives you his own dictionary. He's the only one. He doesn't always speak to something. He just said it. It's even less than Tig Latin. You have 20,000 college students here. So one of the Mefarshim on the first daf in Nazir, Orach Misha, in the back of the Gemara, interprets Yerushalmi that that's acceptable. That is a language. That's a big Kiddush. The Pashtus is like Rav Elwal assumed, that it has to be a spoken language. You have to have a Haskamah Kama B'nai Yodam. He's not sure how many B'nai Yodam. But the Pashtus is not the way Rabbi Chaim Zalman Margolia said. It has to be one of the original Shivim Lashon from the days of the Dorach Logit. That is a very wild Kiddush to say such a thing. After the Mabul is all over and HaKadosh Baruch Hu diminished the Selam Elokim significantly, so one might think perhaps that there's no longer an Issa Ritzicha. The whole prohibition of Ritzicha is because man was created with Selam Elokim. There's still the Tzelem Elokim, but it's a shvacha form of Tzelem Elokim. So the Ribbono Shel Olam has to repeat it. The prohibition of Ritzicha was given to Adam HaRishon. The Gemara in Sanhedrin points out, by Tzav Hashem Elokim Halo Adam Leima Mekolei Tzagan Ol Hotecho. It's included in the phrase there, by Tzav Hashem Elokim Halo Adam Leima, are all of the Sheva Mitzvahs Ben Enoch. Not all the Sheva. Eben Menachai didn't exist until after the Mabul, because Adam HaRishon was not permitted to eat Bokka. He was only allowed to eat fruits and vegetables. And only after the Mabul he was allowed to eat Bokka. So the issue of Eben Menachai only began after the Mabul, after he was allowed to eat Bokka. That's how the Gemara said. That's how the Rambam quotes from the Gemara. So Adam HaRishon wasn't given Sheva.